This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, November 19th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O. At sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll start in Pittsburgh with the Sunday night game, a huge game for the Steelers. As you know, Big Ben out for this week at least, maybe next week as well. Byron Leftwich starting in his place. Ravens Steelers, always going to be a defensive battle. The Ravens defense stepped up last night, admittedly, against Byron Leftwich, but the Ravens get the job done on the road. Ravens 13, Steelers 10. Ravens now obviously with a commanding lead over the Steelers. You knew the Steelers would make it a scrum. You knew it was going to be low scoring. Leftwich actually, I think, shocked everyone with an excellent 31-yard touchdown scramble early to give the Steelers a 7-0 lead. But it was a bizarre play. If you saw the play, he scrambled around the right end. It looked like he was going to run out of bounds. He suckered a guy on the Ravens into thinking that. Then he broke that tackle and ran down the sidelines. But when he went into the end zone virtually untouched, he, I don't know, maybe in celebration, dove onto the ground with nobody there. He didn't trip. Nobody pushed him. He didn't get knocked down. And he came up holding his shoulder, and that led to an entire game, frankly. That was in the first quarter. That led to an entire game of him moving his shoulder around, grabbing his rib, moving his elbow. It looks like he got hurt either there or at some point during the game, and that became a big part in the game late. If you watch the game, because while the Steelers went up 7-0, Jacoby Jones had the biggest play of the game for the Ravens, returning a punt 63 yards for a touchdown. The Ravens were up 10-7 after the first quarter. They traded field goals in the third quarter. Ravens went up 13-7. The Steelers had it very deep in Ravens territory, and on a third down, it looked like Leftwich hit Wallace in the end zone maybe for a touchdown, but he only had 1 foot down. They had to settle for a field goal, so after three quarters it was 13-10. And then the entire fourth quarter, now look, Leftwich was taking some hits, but it looked like he literally couldn't throw the ball. He was clearly bothered after every play. The announcers talked about it for a lot of the game, but certainly almost every play in the fourth quarter. And Leftwich had some guys open, and he's got a pretty good arm, and he literally couldn't reach them. And there was a lot of conversation, I think correctly, as to whether or not Charlie Batch, the third quarterback, should come in. And, you know, Batch has been a starter in the league. He's been around. He's not a guy with no experience. But for whatever reason, they decided to go with Leftwich for the remainder of the game. And even Chris Collinsworth on the telecast said, hey, look, it's good to be courageous. It's good to suck it up. It's good to fight for your team. But at some point, if you have a guy open 25 yards down the field or 35 yards down the field and you can only throw it 30 yards, which is what happened very late in the game if you saw that, if you can't reach the guy who's open, it probably would have been better. I'm not saying Batch would have won the game, but it probably would have been better because Leftwich had some guys open, made the throws like he would make the throws, and they literally just couldn't reach the receiver. So clearly he had a rib issue. Clearly he had a shoulder issue after that dive into the end zone, again, untouched. So final score, Ravens 13, Steelers 10. They play in Baltimore in 2 weeks. You don't know if Big Ben will be back or not. The Steelers defense was unbelievable. Flacco, 20 for 32 for 164 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Ray Rice held to 40 yards rushing on 20 carries. Bolden, 8 receptions for 79 yards, but no offensive touchdowns for the Ravens. The one offensive touchdown for the Steelers, as we said, the 31-yard Leftwich run. Leftwich, 18 for 39 for 201, no touchdowns, one pick. Dwyer, 12 rushes for 55 yards. Mendenhall, 11 for 33. You know, Mendenhall still a little hurt. He went out there and gave it a go. But a defensive struggle. the Ravens win it. The Ravens in command now in the in their division over the Steelers. We'll get to the standings later, but I thought that was the biggest game. And the Steelers, you know, there's no moral victories in the NFL, but the Steelers gave it a heck of a go. Ravens 13, Steelers 10. A bunch of other interesting games. Now, there weren't a lot of games like Ravens-Steelers between two divisional rivals, but there was in Detroit, and it was a huge game for the Lions, but the Packers seem to be back on track, frankly. Lions up 17-14 after three, but the Packers outscore the Lions 10-3 in the fourth quarter. Packers 24, Lions 20. Obviously a big win for the Packers. You know, everybody talking about how Aaron Rodgers is back and dominating, and he certainly got the job done yesterday. M.D. Jennings picked off Matthew Stafford and returned it 72 yards for a touchdown to give the Packers a 14-10 lead. Mason Crosby missed a couple of field goals, especially one from 38 yards when the Packers were down three late. But then it was Aaron Rodgers, who else, to Randall Cobb in the fourth quarter, 22-yard touchdown pass. Cobb with a nice catch. Packers 24, Lions 20, and that was your final. Aaron Rodgers is, you know, Aaron Rodgers, 19 for 27, 236 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. Starks, 25 rushes for 74 yards. Cobb, 9 receptions for 74 yards and the game-winning touchdown. Finley, 3 for 66 and a touchdown. Matt Stafford, not a very good game, 17 for 39 for 266, one touchdown, two picks. LeSure, their running back, 19 rushes for 84 yards and a touchdown. And Megatron, what can you say about this guy? He's unbelievable. Calvin Johnson, 5 receptions, 143 yards and a touchdown. And on the final play of the game, if you saw it, they were like 60 yards from the end zone, too far for even, you know, a Hail Mary. So they hit Johnson over the middle for like 15 yards, and he ran another 15 yards. And then when everybody was closing in, you know, they tried the 5 lateral play that, of course, didn't work. And that was the final play of the game. Packers 24, Lions 20, and that's a gigantic win for the Packers and a crushing loss. You know, a lot of people thought off of last year, the Lions had arrived a year early. I wouldn't call this a sophomore slump, but A, they're in a very tough division. B, I think they overachieved last year. So the Packers get that win on the road. Number of other games to get to, a number of interesting games. You know, the Colts are 6-3, the Patriots are 6-3, but I still don't look at them at 6-3. I wrote that article at sportstalknetwork.com. You are what your record says you are, but not this year. And keep in mind now, the Patriots, I think, got robbed of two victories. I am not a Patriots fan, but they got robbed of two victories by the officials, and they lost by 1 point on the road at Seattle, a very tough place to play. They could, you know, easily be 9-1 instead of 7-3. But yesterday wasn't really a shootout between Andrew Luck and Tom Brady. That would be unfair to Andrew Luck. But the Colts did take an early lead. They were up on the Patriots in Foxborough, 14-7. But then, you know, the roof just caved in. It went from 14-7 to 45-17. And it certainly was not all just Tom Brady and the and the offense. Aqib Talib, their recent acquisition, who had troubles early in the game. If you watch the game, he had a 59-yard interception return for a touchdown. Alphonso Dennard later, 87-yard INT return for a touchdown. Julian Edelman, a 68-yard punt return. But, you know, Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and New England managed to put up 59 points. Again, the game went from 14-7 Indianapolis after a Luck pass to T.Y. Hilton. Hilton had 6 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. That put them up 14-7. They were up 14-7, and then before you knew it, they were down 45-17. I mean, this is what the Patriots can do. And again, not just the blitzkrieg offense of the Patriots. It was 24-17 at the half, and then it was 38-17, game over after three. And you know, Belichick doesn't stop. You can argue whether he's running up the score or not. But the final score, Patriots 59, Colts 24. And then just one of the most bizarre things you'll ever see, you've probably heard about this by now, but Gronkowski, who had an unbelievable game and was taken out of the game for the final touchdown drive. New England was up 52-24. Gronkowski was not on the field as New England drove for their final score, but he apparently is the right side blocker. You know how they line up and they have one guy back off the line of scrimmage on each end when you're kicking an extra point. Gronkowski is the guy on the right. And on the 59th point of the game, as they were kicking a meaningless extra point, somehow Gronkowski making a block broke his forearm. And, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm sure people will question Belichick now. How could you have him out of the game for the final touchdown drive and then put him in the game for an extra point? And the answer is the odds of a guy getting hurt on an extra point are what? 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000, 1 in 100,000? I mean, it's just, but Gronkowski has a broken forearm. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. Of course, Belichick would say nothing about it after the game. I believe he did say if, you know, the same thing happened again, he'd be out there because he's the guy who plays that position. You know, the Patriots are legendary for playing their top players on special teams. So Gronkowski was out there after being on the bench for the touchdown drive. He breaks his forearm on the 59th point of the game. New England, I don't know if they send a message to Indianapolis. I mean, Indianapolis has greatly overachieved. They're still 6-4. They're still in the hunt for a wild card, as we've discussed for weeks. New England, being New England, has a pretty easy route to the division. The question is their defense going to get better? They did have 2 picks yesterday returned for touchdowns, so you got to give them credit. It is Andrew Luck. Luck obviously has not been as good on the road as he's been at home, but he's an excellent young quarterback who's going to be, you know, an all-time great NFL quarterback if he stays healthy. Yesterday, Tom Brady is Tom Brady, 24 for 35 for 331 yards, 3 TDs, no picks. Not much of a rushing game. Vereen, 11 for 40. Ridley, 13 for 28. But again, the Patriots, they want more balance. They've run the ball well this year, but not yesterday against the Colts. But Gronkowski, 7 for 137 and 2 touchdowns. Welker, 7 for 80. Edelman, 5 catches for 58 yards and a touchdown. And a punt return for a touchdown. And he also had one end around, 47 yards. I mean, it was an unbelievable game for Edelman. I don't know if you call him the mini Welker, but he certainly has a place on this team. Luck, 27 for 50. And, you know, when you're throwing it up 50 times, usually you lose. But 27 for 50, 334 yards, 2 TDs, 3 picks. And, again, 2 of those picks were run back for touchdowns. Ballard, 16 rushes for 72 yards. Carter, 2 rushes for 21 yards, including a touchdown. Reggie Wayne, 7 receptions for 72 yards. And, as we said, Hilton, 6 receptions for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. Final score, Patriots 59, Colts 24, Patriots 7-3 in full command of their division, Colts 6-4, but certainly still very much in the wild card picture. I certainly didn't think the Colts were a playoff team. But hey, Andrew Luck is as good or even better than advertised, so give him tons of credit. Number of other games to get to. The Falcons, 8-1 going into the game against the Cardinals, who, as you know, were 4-5, 4-0, and then they dropped 5 in a row. So in Atlanta, you got to love the Falcons, but the Cardinals played very well, 13-0 after 1, but tied at 16 after 2 and after 3. But the Falcons get a touchdown late. Matty Ryan, 28 for 46 for 301 yards. The Falcons get the win late, 23-19 over the Arizona Cardinals. And again, this is the NFL, I guess, but the Cardinals were 4-0, and now they're 4-6. Matty Ryan threw 5 interceptions, if you can imagine that, and the Falcons still won. That must happen, you know, once every 100 games or so. Falcons 23, Cardinals 19. Michael Turner ran it over late for the winning touchdown. And, you know, the teams that are 8-1, the Falcons now 9-1, seem to have a way of winning these games. There are a couple others that we'll get to, Jaguars and Texans, for example, after the break. The Cardinals 4-0 and now 4-6. They're their season has fallen off a cliff. But somehow that's what the good teams do. Despite five interceptions from Matt Ryan, the Falcons win. Falcons 23, Cardinals 19, Falcons 9-1, Cardinals 4-6. This is the Steve Kallas Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallas Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallas Show. We got a lot more NFL football to get through. We'll get to other things, NBA, college football, the chase. We'll get to all that, but first the rest of the football games, another big game, well, deciding game for the Chargers, I would say, and maybe for the future of North Turner and Phillip Rivers. The Chargers go into Denver to play the Broncos. The Broncos 6-3 coming in. The Chargers 4-5, obviously a key game in the division. But what can you say about Peyton Manning, and what can you say about Phillip Rivers? Manning's Manning. Chargers in Denver. Jump out to a 7-0 lead, but the Broncos come back and score 17 unanswered in the second quarter, 17-7 at the half, and the Broncos win it. Broncos 30, Chargers 23. I mean, it's been a miraculous comeback, I think, coming off of three neck procedures for Peyton Manning. But it's been just a disaster for the Chargers and North Turner, frankly, because they just, I think this is the end. You're seeing the end of a few very good, but not good enough to be champions. North Turner and Phillip Rivers. I think you're going to see it with Andy Reid and Michael Vick. You know, some of these combinations, there's questions, frankly, about Jason Garrett and Tony Romo in Dallas, although they won. We'll get to that in a minute. But yesterday, I think the Broncos almost put the final nail, if you will, in the coffin of the San Diego Chargers. Peyton Manning, 25 for 42, 270 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. Phillip Rivers, 24 for 40 for 259, two touchdowns, but again, two interceptions. He also lost a fumble. There's just too many turnovers for the Chargers and Phillip Rivers. Eric Weddle actually intercepted a Manning pass early, a tipped Manning pass, returned it 23 yards for a touchdown, but then the Patriots come back with 17 unanswered. Von Miller had three sacks. Manning hit Demaryius Thomas for a 13-yard TD, and later, after a block punt by Nate Cyphers, Manning hits his one of his favorite targets, Stokely, for a 31-yard touchdown pass. Late in the game, he hit his other favorite target, Eric Decker, for a 20-yard TD pass. So it went from 7-0, and despite Sean Phillips getting a safety tackling Manning in the end zone early on in the second half, was 17-7 at the half. That safety made it 17-9, but after the Decker touchdown, 24-9, and the final, Denver 30, San Diego 23. Denver moves to 7-3. San Diego drops to 4-6. McGahee, 7 rushes for 55 yards for Denver. Hillman, 12 for 43. And Manning, as he does, spreads it around. Stokely, 4 for 55 yards and a touchdown. Tammy is tight end, 4 for 53. Dreesen, 4 for 28. Thomas, as we said, a touchdown, three receptions for 42 yards. For the Chargers, Ryan Matthews played, but he only had 15 rushes for 47 yards. Alexander, 7 receptions for 96 yards and two touchdowns. Floyd, 4 for 67, but not enough for the Chargers. You can't say the Chargers' season is over, but at 4-6, it is just about over, and I'll say it again. Looks like it's going to be the end of the Norv Turner-Phillip Rivers combination. A very, very productive combination, but not a team that could do damage in the playoffs, never mind get to a Super Bowl. The Saints back from the dead, 0-4, now 5-5 after a dominating win on the road in Oakland. Saints 38, Raiders 17. You know, Carson Palmer has not been the answer. You'll recall they brought him back in the middle of the season last year. He's not been the answer for the Raiders. Breeze yesterday, 20 for 27, 219 yards, three TDs, no interceptions. And I'll say it again, we always talk about that as a key stat. Carson Palmer, 22 for 40, 312 yards, two touchdowns, but two interceptions as well. And again, the Raiders have turned the ball over a lot. And the Saints, you know, the Saints have a chance. Again, I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but it's becoming more and more likely that they will make the playoffs. They started off 0-4. They got Joe Vitt, the interim coach, back after six games. And their offense was starting to kick in gear before that, frankly. But you have to give him a lot of credit. Malcolm Jenkins also intercepted a Palmer pass for a 55-yard touchdown return. Saints 38, Raiders 17. For the Saints, Ingram 12 rushes for 67 yards and a touchdown. Graham 6 catches for 29 yards and a touchdown. Lance Moore, 2 receptions for 53 yards, both touchdowns, including a 38-yarder. For the Raiders, Reese, 19 rushes for 103 yards. Myers, 6 receptions for 55 yards and a touchdown, but not enough. Saints back in the mix at 5-5. Raiders falling out of it at 3-7. Saints 38, Raiders 17. A huge win for the Raiders. You know the hole they were in at the beginning of the year with all the suspensions and Peyton out for the year. But Joe Vitt has come back and, frankly, put them back. They're right back in the playoff picture. few other football games to get to. The Jaguars and the Texans. The Jaguars 1-8 going into Houston against the Texans 8-1. Who would have thought that this could, you know, remotely be a game? But not only did it turn out to be a game, it almost turned out to be a stunning upset. The Jaguars 17-7 at the half, but they go up very late in the fourth quarter, 34-20. Chad Henne comes in for an injured Gabrick. Cecil Shorts catches a 67-yard touchdown pass. Blackman with an 81-yard touchdown catch to put them up 34-20. But again, as we talked about, these 1-8 teams have a find a way to lose. The 8-1 teams find a way to win. Matt Schaub completes his last 16 passes in a row in regulation and brings them back from 34-20 to 34-34 on a 35-yard touchdown catch and run by Andre Johnson, who had a monster game. They go to overtime, tied at 34. Houston kicks a field goal and makes it, but as you know, under the new rules, Jacksonville gets the ball back. They come down and kick a field goal, and the game is going very late into the fourth quarter. Jacksonville goes for it at 4th and 10 from about midfield under the old, I guess, what do we have to lose theory, but they don't. And then Andre Johnson on the second play, when Houston gets the ball back after the miss from 4th and 10, Andre Johnson cuts a short pass and runs 48 yards for a game-winning touchdown in overtime. Houston 43, Jacksonville 37, the Texans 9-1, Jacksonville 1-9, and just, you know, video game numbers. Matt Schaub 43 for 55, 527 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 picks, the second highest amount of yards in the game. Yes, it was in overtime, and yeah, they almost played a full fifth quarter, but the all-time record, of course, Norm Van Brocklin back in the 60s, 554 yards in one game. Not an overtime game, by the way. But Schaub, 43 for 55, 527, 5 TDs. Chad Henne was kind of the surprise star of the game, if you will. 16 for 33, not that impressive, but for 354 yards and 4 touchdowns. Once he came in the game, obviously they not only gave him a chance to win, he put them up 14 late in the fourth quarter. But give Houston credit again. This is what happens with 1-8 teams and 8-1 teams. So the Jaguars now 1-9. Still no Maurice Jones-Drew, of course, and the Texans now 9-1. But you see how these supposed, you know, Atlanta, the Texans, I don't think anyone thinks they're, nobody thinks they're the dominant teams in the NFL, but certainly they are both 9-1. Number of other games, you know, this is the, I don't want to say the also-ran bowl, but certainly for the Eagles, the disappointment bowl. The Eagles, 3-6, go on the road to play the Redskins, and they just get hammered by RG3 and the Redskins. Redskins 31, Eagles 6, Redskins 4-6, hanging on to hope in their season, especially with the Giants not playing very well. Redskins get the win, 31-6. RG3, 14 for 15 for 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. I mean, that's pretty impressive, 14 for 15 and efficient. They started Foles. They said Vic has a concussion. Nobody knows for sure, but that's what they said. Foles, 21 for 46 for 204. Really, obviously couldn't really start any offense. Redskins, 31-6. Redskins, 4-6. Eagles drop to 3-7. Cowboys, season on the line as well. All out to beat the Browns at home. The Browns play a gritty game. They force overtime, 20-20. In fact, they scored a touchdown very late to go up, and then in the last minute, you know, give Tony Romo credit. He got sacked 7 times, but he gets up off the ground to drive them to a game-tying field goal very late, and then a game-winning field goal in overtime. Cowboys 23, Browns 20, Tony Romo 35 for 50 for 313 and a TD, Brandon Whedon 20 for 35 for 210 and 2 touchdowns, no interceptions for either. Romo gets sacked 7 times, but Dallas gets the win in overtime after Whedon had hit Watson very late, the tight end Ben Watson, and hit him with like a minute left to put him up 20-17. But Dallas comes back with a pass interference penalty. Bailey kicks two field goals, one late to tie and a 38-yarder in overtime to win. You know the rule now. If there's no initial field goal on the first drive, then any field goal after that wins the game, obviously, if it puts you ahead. Dallas 23, Browns 20 on a Dan Bailey 38-yard field goal. Cowboys hanging tough because the Giants, frankly, have not played that well. Giants with a bye this week. Cowboys 5-5. Browns 2-8. Another big game for the Buccaneers. Behind 14-10 at the half and after three quarters on the road at Carolina. You know, Carolina's had a tough time winning. The Bucs, to me anyway, a huge surprise under first-year coach Greg Schiano from Rutgers. But yesterday late, it was the Vincent Jackson show. He catches a couple of passes, including a 24-yard touchdown late, and then he catches a two-point conversion to tie the game at 21 and force overtime. Then Tampa Bay gets the ball. Doug Martin with a 27-yard run. Doug Martin probably a shoo-in right now for Rookie of the Year. He had 24 rushes for 138 yards yesterday. Freeman hits Dallas Clark for the game-winning touchdown in overtime. They don't kick the extra point, as you know. Tampa Bay 27, Carolina 21, Josh Freeman 25 for 46 for 248 and three touchdowns. Cam Newton 16 for 29 for 252 and a touchdown. Clark 7 receptions for 58, including the game-winning touchdown. LaFell 5 for 93 for Carolina, including a touchdown. Buccaneers in the thick of things at 6-4. Panthers off the board already. And remember, they finished great last year, and there were high hopes for Carolina this year, but they dropped to 2-8. Another team clinging to playoff hopes, and I picked three teams in that division to make the playoffs: Ravens, Steelers, and the Bengals. The Bengals now, after trashing the Giants last week, trashed the Chiefs in Kansas City. Bengals 28, Chiefs 6. The Bengals are coming back. Can they make the playoffs? We'll see. They move to 5-5. Andy Dalton, 18 for 29 for 230 yards and two TDs. Matt Castle, the lost year, 8 of 16 for 93 yards. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, rushes for 101 yards for Cincinnati on 25 carries, including a touchdown. And A.J. Green, who might be the best wide receiver in football, 6 receptions for 91 yards and a touchdown. The Bengals stay relevant. Move to 5-5, Bengals 28, Chiefs 6, and I guess I should say the lowly Chiefs, because it's been a nightmare year, 1-9 under Romeo Crennel, who, you know, again, frankly, his days might be numbered as well. The Jets come back with a big win, and I certainly like the Rams, but the Rams drove 86 yards early to take a 7-0 lead, and then the Jets put the clamps on them, up 13-7 at the half and after three. The Jets beat the Rams 27-13. They're calling it a season-saving win for the Jets. I don't know if that's true or not. You know, they're 4-6 now, so I don't know what that means. And, oh, by the way, they get the Patriots Thursday night. Now, they always play the Patriots tough. Rex Ryan has been able to beat Belichick in the regular season. The game is at the Meadowlands. It is Thursday night, but it's a tall order. But the Jets did save their season, but they're only 4-6 now. If they lose, they get 7 losses after the Patriots on Thursday. The good news is, of course, Rob Gronkowski, as we talked about, broke his forearm on an extra point in the last play of that 59-24 rout. So no Gronkowski. Patriots expect Aaron Hernandez back. He did not play yesterday, and obviously they didn't need him, but they're going to need him if Gronkowski is out. So the Jets, back from the brink. The Rams had tied San Francisco last week. They had played some very tough teams very well the last few weeks. They were favored at home. They marched down the field like they were going to score 59 points. And instead, the Jets made adjustments, held them down. Sanchez played well, 15 for 20, 178 yards, TD, no picks. Bradford, 23 for 44, 170, two TDs for the Rams, one early, one late. But the Jets get the win. I don't know if they saved their season, but they kept themselves relevant at least till Thursday night, when, again, they play the Patriots at the Meadowlands in certainly the biggest game of the year for the Jets. I wouldn't say it's the biggest game of the year for the Patriots, but they know they can bury the Jets with a win on the road. Jets 27, Rams 13. Quickly, we'll take a look at the NFL standings. In the AFC, the Patriots, a commanding three-game lead. They're 7-3. The Jets, Bills, and Dolphins all 4-6 now. The Ravens, after that big win over the Steelers, are 8-2. Steelers dropped to 6-4, so they're two games behind, obviously, and they do play the Ravens again in 2 weeks. They don't know if Big Ben will be back. The Bengals still kind of relevant at 5-5. Cleveland out of it at 2-8. The Texans 9-1. Indianapolis fighting for a wild card. Obviously, they're 6-4. Tennessee 4-6. Jacksonville 1-9. And the AFC West, the Broncos 7-3. Now three games up on the Chargers after that big win. Four games up on the Raiders at 3-7. The Chiefs well out of it at 1-9. NFC East, which, yes, is a tough division, but record-wise, not so impressive. The Giants have played poorly, dropped to 6-4. This was their bye week. The Cowboys at 5-5, only a game behind, and the Cowboys certainly haven't been very good. Washington stays relevant in the division at 4-6, two games out of the lead. Philadelphia falling off a cliff again. I think it's the end of the Andy Reid, Michael Vick era. They're 3-7. NFC North, the Bears 7-2. The Packers now 7-3, crawling back into it. Minnesota 6-4, and the Lions now 4-6. Going to be hard for them to jump all those teams and even get a wild card, never mind the division. NFC South, the Falcons 9-1, Tampa Bay 6-4, New Orleans making a run for a wild card at 5-5, the Panthers out of it 2-8. And finally, in the NFC West, the 49ers 6-2-1. That tie might actually come in to help them because the Seahawks are 6-4. Arizona falling off a cliff, 4-6, and the Rams out of it already at 3-6-1. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. That's it for the football. A lot of other things going on this past weekend. NASCAR, the final race for the Chase, became almost anticlimactic when Jimmy Johnson had mechanical problems. He actually led that race for a while. You'll recall Brad Keselowski, if he came in 15th or better, it didn't matter what Jimmy Johnson did. But if Jimmy Johnson could finish 20 places in front of Brad Keselowski, then he could win the Chase. But he had the lead early. He had some problems. He had problems in the pit. He had mechanical problems with his car and wound up finishing 36th. So it was really just Brad Keselowski going around the track. He did finish 15th. So it became irrelevant whether Jimmy Johnson finished first or 36th. But Keselowski wins the Chase. Jeff Gordon won the race. Jimmy Johnson finished 36th. In fact, in the Chase, Keselowski finished first, and Clint Boyer came up and beat Jimmy Johnson for second. Jimmy Johnson was third. I'm sure it doesn't matter a whole lot. He's probably a winner or whatever guy. Obviously, I'm sure he'd rather be second than third, but once you're not first, I don't think it really mattered. The bigger news, frankly, is Keselowski gives Roger Penske, the legendary NASCAR guy who's been owning cars since 1972. This is his first Chase Cup. Means the world to him. It was really like a hole on his resume, if you will, but he gets his first yesterday. Keselowski, very emotional after his win. You know, nobody thought he could do it. He hasn't gotten any respect. According to the experts, he's kind of been viewed as an outsider, but this will certainly give him credibility within the NASCAR community and outside the NASCAR community. He's the champion. Jimmy Johnson was gracious in defeat, said we'll try it again next year. Things didn't go right. You know, you have to like him. He's been amazing. He did win five in a row. You know, Jimmy Johnson is a guy who actually lives in New York City, and he's happy to say he walks around. Nobody recognizes him. He doesn't really care. But he's obviously still the major force in NASCAR. But Brad Keselowski on the scene with his first Chase Cup championship, and Roger Penske, after 40 years, gets his first championship as well in the final race of the NASCAR Chase for the Cup. You probably know by now about the gigantic upsets in college football over the weekend. You know, it looked like Alabama, after they lost to Johnny Football, who might be the Heisman winner, Johnny Manziel, they had dropped out. There were still three undefeated teams, and of course, if two of those undefeated teams stayed undefeated, two of the three, Alabama wouldn't have a chance. But you know, college football is a strange game. Baylor had a good offense. A lot of people thought Baylor could give Kansas State a run for their money, and they did more than that. Baylor playing at home crushes Kansas State. Baylor 52, Kansas State 24. You know, kind of ends the Heisman hopes of Klein, who was 27 for 50 for 286 and two touchdowns. But Florence, the Baylor quarterback, 20 for 32, 238 yards and two touchdowns. Sistrunk, 19 for 185 rushing and a TD. Give Baylor credit, and as you know, that's RG3's old school. They have a gigantic win, 52-24 over Kansas State. Gets Baylor to 5-5, gets K-State to 10-1 and out of the top two. Another upset, Stanford on the road at Oregon. You know that high-powered Oregon offense? Well, they lose in overtime to Stanford. Stanford 17, Oregon 14. Hogan, the freshman quarterback for Stanford, 25 for 36 for 211 yards and a touchdown. Mariota, 21 for 37, 207 and a TD, but they just could not, Oregon could not mount the offense that they normally mount. Taylor of Stanford, a beast on the ground, 33 rushes for 161 yards. And Ertz, their wide receiver, 11 for 106 and a touchdown. Give Stanford credit. Stanford's ranked number 14. Obviously, that wasn't going to be a pushover. Baylor was unranked, but Baylor was playing at home. Stanford on the road at Oregon. So the top two teams in the BCS get knocked out. And who's the last one left standing? And if they can beat USC next week, Notre Dame crushes Wake Forest 38-0 to go to 11-0. They stand alone at the top undefeated. Ohio State is undefeated. An amazing job by Urban Meyer. But as you know, not eligible for the postseason, so it's just Notre Dame as the only eligible undefeated team in the country. Again, just a stunning turn of events. But what does this mean? Well, once again, Alabama might get a second chance. Although it's probably going to be Alabama and Georgia in the SEC championship game. I believe the winner of that game will play Notre Dame for the national championship, assuming Notre Dame is going to get by USC. Now, USC was touted early in the year. You know, things are breaking right for Notre Dame. They've played great. They're much more athletic than certainly I thought, and give them all the credit in the world. But a lot of people thought they couldn't beat USC in the final game of the year. And what happens over the weekend? Matt Barkley gets hurt and is already declared out of next week's Notre Dame-USC game. Barkley got hurt playing against UCLA. UCLA beats USC 38-28. Nobody thought USC would have four losses this season. They thought they were a legitimate national championship contender. That's why Barkley stuck around an extra year. It hasn't worked out. So they're a four-loss team playing Notre Dame without their star quarterback. So there'll be no Matt Barkley. He has a sprained right shoulder. And that's going to make things much easier for Notre Dame. USC is going to start a freshman quarterback. Right now, the BCS standings, Notre Dame number one, Alabama number two, Georgia number three, Florida number four, Oregon drops to five after that overtime loss to Stanford, K-State drops to six, LSU number seven. So you now have four of the top seven SEC teams, but you have Notre Dame controlling its own destiny. And again, you got to give them all the credit in the world. They're 11-0. Ohio State is 11-0. Some polls I've seen that include Ohio State have them fourth in the country after Notre Dame, Alabama, and Georgia. You know, what can you say? Urban Meyer doesn't even have his own kids there yet. So obviously, Ohio State is going to be a massive team to be reckoned with over the next few years. They beat Wisconsin on the road to finish 11-0. Ohio State 21, Wisconsin 14. In the Notre Dame game, the 38-0 whomping of Wake Forest. Golson, their very good young quarterback, 20 for 30, 346 yards, three touchdowns. Wood rushes 11 times for 150 yards and a touchdown. And Jones, six catches for 97 yards and a touchdown. Complete domination by the Irish. But hey, they went on the road and beat Oklahoma. They have a tough schedule. They are 11-0. They should now beat USC without Barkley. You don't know until it happens. A lot of strange things have happened this year. But Notre Dame controls their own destiny. And I think Alabama and Georgia kind of control their own destiny. Whichever one of those two wins out, I think will play Notre Dame for the national championship. You know, if it's a Notre Dame-Alabama game, Alabama's going to be favored. But Notre Dame has answered every call. You know, you ask me right now, I like Alabama. The SEC is just too tough. You know, what would Notre Dame be if they were in the SEC? I doubt they'd be undefeated or even a one-loss team. You know, what would have to happen if they played Alabama or LSU? You know, Georgia's very lucky. Georgia has not played Alabama or LSU in the regular season in the last 2 years, so they're fortunate. But they also will get a shot to maybe play in the national title if Alabama and Georgia meet in the SEC championship game. The winner of that game is going to play Notre Dame, assuming Notre Dame beats USC, which, again, just got much, much easier because of the problems of Matt Barkley. And, again, USC 7-4 this year, frankly, appears to have been overrated. Just one more college game I want to mention. Doesn't have national title implications, but you remember Geno Smith, who was an early-on Heisman Trophy candidate when West Virginia was winning and lighting up incredible offense. Well, Oklahoma, who had been beaten by Notre Dame at home, as you know, Oklahoma also had national title hopes, but they have two losses. Oklahoma goes down to West Virginia, and Oklahoma beats West Virginia 50-49. And just listen to these numbers. I mean, Landry Jones, 38 for 51 for 554 yards and six touchdowns. Geno Smith, 20 for 35 for 320 yards and four touchdowns. Austin of West Virginia rushed 21 times for 344 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, again, video game numbers. Oklahoma 50, West Virginia 49. Just thought I'd mention that game. But again, going into the end of the season, the last couple of weeks, final games and championship games, Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Oregon, that's your top five. Oregon and K-State, the number one and two teams in the country, according to the BCS, both lose, opens the door for Notre Dame to be number one alone at the top, and also, of course, gives a second chance to Alabama, and maybe a first chance if Georgia can beat Alabama, to go to a national title game. I want to turn to the NBA now. A lot going on with the NBA, as we talked about on Friday. The Knicks were the only undefeated team going into the weekend, but they also had their first back-to-back games. They had a great win in San Antonio, but then the next night they had to go play Memphis in Memphis, and the Memphis Grizzlies are very good. And Memphis knocked off the Knicks, ended their undefeated streak. But the Knicks come back yesterday. The Knicks beat the Indiana Pacers at the Garden. Knicks 88, Indiana 76. Carmelo Anthony leads the Knicks with 26. The Knicks are now 4-0 at home, 3-1 on the road. Give them credit, 7-1. They have the best record still. Well, Memphis has the best record, I'm sorry, 8-1. Knicks have the second best record now, 7-1. They're the only two teams who have one loss. But the Knicks rebounded well. You know, their problem is going to be back-to-backs. They're a very old team. But Carmelo leads the way yesterday, Knicks 88, Indiana 76. A few other games yesterday in the Bulls. You know, I didn't think the Bulls were going to be very good. They opened up like gangbusters, but no Rose, no leader, no top scorer. Yesterday, the Trailblazers in Portland beat the Bills, beat the Bulls 102-94. The Trailblazers now 5-5. Chicago as well, 5-5. Batum leads the Trailblazers with 21. Robinson had 18 for the Bulls. A few other interesting games. The Lakers, this was an interesting game. It was supposed to be Mike D'Antoni's first as a Laker head coach, but he let Bernie Bickerstaff coach once more. He's out there. He's been out there since Thursday. They had practice Thursday, but D'Antoni didn't feel, I guess, strong enough because of that knee replacement surgery. Obviously, he didn't know he was going to be the Lakers coach. But Bernie Bickerstaff coaches the Lakers at home against the Harden/Jeremy Lin Rockets. Lakers 119, Rockets 108. The Lakers have turned it around pretty quickly from 1-4 to now 5-5. Dwight Howard rounding into shape, 28 points, 13 rebounds. Kobe, 22 points on 9-for-18 shooting, 11 rebounds, 11 assists, triple-double for Kobe, of course. And again, when they're healthy, and Nash, this is without Nash now, when they start Gasol, Meta World Peace, formerly Ron Artest, Howard, Bryant, and Nash, I mean, that's unbelievable. Now, their bench isn't fantastic, but those five guys could, I still think, make a run at the title, even with Mike D'Antoni. I don't view that as a plus. Obviously, I thought Phil Jackson would be better. The Rockets, Harden had 20 points, 7 assists. Jeremy Lin with only 5 points. Taking some heat out there, but 5 points, 10 assists. Look, Jeremy Lin is a good to very good NBA point guard. I don't care what anyone says. They don't see how he sees the floor. Parsons has 24 points for the Rockets yesterday, but it's Lakers 119, Rockets 108. Lakers 5-5, Rockets 4-6. A bunch of other games yesterday. The Brooklyn Nets, maybe the hottest team in the NBA. The Nets have now won 5 in a row to be 6-2 and just a game behind the Knicks. They beat the Kings in Sacramento. Nets 99, Kings 90. Blotch leads the way with 22 points, and that just shows you what the Nets are, where he could be the leading scorer. You have Darren Williams with 10 assists. You have Joe Johnson. You have Brook Lopez, a big man who can play. Cousins had 29 for the Kings, but they're not very good this year. They dropped to 2-8. The Nets move to 6-2. Oklahoma City at home beats the Warriors 119-109. Westbrook leads the way with 30. Durant with 10 assists. Curry for the Warriors leads with 22 and 6 assists. Oklahoma City moves to 8-3. Golden State drops to 5-5 in a battle of two not very good teams. The Magic in Toronto, the Raptors win 97-86. The Magic 3-6, the Raptors 3-7. Davis leads the Magic with 16. DeRozan leads the Raptors with 20. 76ers, 6-4 now. They beat the Cavaliers, 86-79 in Philly. Turner leads them with 19. G has 17 for the Cavaliers. The Pistons hammer the Celtics. The Pistons were 1-9 going into the game. They hammer the Celtics, 103-83. Greg Monroe, who is the best player on the Pistons now, leads them with 20. Sullinger from Ohio State leads the Celtics with 16. Rondo gets 10 assists again. I think that's like his 30th game in a row or something. He's got some incredible streak. We'll follow that. He's got an amazing assist streak. But the Pistons move to 2-9. The Celtics drop to 6-5. They beat the Celtics at home by 20. One other note, Andrew Bynum, who's waiting to come back to help the 76ers. You know, Andrew Bynum, I guess the Lakers gave up on him because it looked like he was never going to take basketball seriously enough. He actually, and look, I'm not saying he shouldn't have admitted it, but he's trying to get into game shape. He's trying to come back to the NBA to help his team, and he said that he can't play now because his left knee swelled up after bowling. And, you know, I guess it's true. If your left knee's swelling up after you bowl, you're not going to be able to play in the NBA. So it's going to be a while for Bynum. And that's, you know, obviously not good news for him. Basketball, college basketball yesterday, you know, and again, these early games, you know, I don't even know what to say. Louisville beats Miami of Ohio 80-39. Louisville, number 2 in the country. And Ohio State, number 4, beats Washington on the road 77-66. Indiana, the number 1 team in the country, in action tonight. So we'll get to tonight's games. First, let's go through the standings quickly. The Knicks 7-1, Brooklyn 6-2 in the Atlantic Conference in the East. Philly 6-4, Boston 6-5, Toronto 3-7. Milwaukee, the Bucks, leads the Central at 6-2, Chicago second at 5-5. Miami, of course, leads the Southeast at 8-3. Charlotte and Atlanta 4-4 in second. I mean, that's a terrible division. Charlotte, Orlando, Washington, don't know how good Atlanta's going to be without Joe Johnson, but, you know, Miami's in the cakewalk down there. Out in the West, Oklahoma City 8-3, Minnesota 5-4, Portland 5-5, Utah 5-6, Denver 4-6. Pacific, the Clippers were the commanding lead early. They're 7-2, but the Lakers started 1-4. They're now 5-5, as is Golden State. Phoenix and Sacramento just don't think they're going anywhere this year. Memphis, a very good team in the Southwest, 8-1. Memphis, Southwest, see the problem. San Antonio, 8-2. Dallas, 6-5. Houston, 4-6. And New Orleans, 3-5. Obviously, very, very early in the NBA. TV tonight, big game, Bears at 49ers, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN nationally, but no, neither quarterback. Now, the rumor yesterday was Alex Smith was going to start, but neither Cutler nor Smith will start, which automatically, to me, makes it more of a defensive struggle. That the Bears have an excellent defense, as do the 49ers, so this should be a low-scoring game. NBA TV, if you want to see a basketball game, not a very good one to me. The Magic in Atlanta to play the Hawks, that's 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And then just a ton of college basketball games, mainly on ESPN2 or ESPNU. CBS Sports Network has a doubleheader from the Virgin Islands, Wake Forest and Mercer at 7 Eastern, Illinois, Chicago, and Iona at 10. But I think the game you probably want to watch, or the doubleheader you want to watch, the Legends Classic at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, where the Nets play Indiana against Georgia at 5:30 Eastern on ESPNU. Indiana, the number 1 team in the country. And then a good matchup, UCLA and Georgetown, 8 o'clock Eastern, right after that in Brooklyn. That's on ESPN2. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.